the despised, a heart for the poor, a heart for the outcast. And it's also a call for us to walk with integrity. Now, when you get to this gospel, it's a little challenging, right? I mean, it's complicated. So, I want to give it a shot to see if I can help you understand what I understand. And that is, this reading, the first 13 verses of chapter 16, is a direct response and immediately follows chapter 15, which begins with the grumbling religious people. The Pharisees, the scribes, they're grumbling. Why? Because Jesus, this itinerant rabbi from the Galilee, is eating and drinking with sinners and outcasts. And that upsets them because they do their best to uphold the standards of the law. And if Jesus just bypasses the law and visits with anybody, clean or unclean, then it diminishes the integrity of that standard. And so Jesus, in response to their grumbling, says, look, let me help you understand where I'm coming from. And he tells them the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son, which is the prodigal son story that we're all familiar with, or some of us are. And what he's saying is that, look, the righteous need no Savior. If you're righteous, you're righteous. Nothing can get in. But God has a heart for all people. This is God's beloved creation, and God is seeking and finding the lost, to welcome them to the table, to the party that's going on. And so if you lose a coin and you find it, you're going to rejoice. If you lose a sheep and you find it, you're going to rejoice. And especially if you lose a son and the son comes back, you're going to throw a party. Well, as we know, in the ending of the story of the prodigal son, the lost son, the son is taking an early inheritance, and he squanders it in the far country. And he comes to his senses at one point and says, you know, even my dad's servants have it better than I do. I'm going to go ask Dad to just take me on as a servant. And so he comes back. Well, Dad is, of course, every day looking, waiting. And when he sees his son, he throws a party and embraces him and doesn't even listen to his son's excuses for what he's done or not done. The big brother grumbles, right? Dad, that's not fair. That's not fair. I've been good. I've worked hard all these years. You've never thrown me a party. And yet this son of yours who wastes it all, you kill the fatted calf. Immediately following on that is this gospel. And it begins in the Greek, dekai, which is a Greek marker that says what immediately precedes is important. This is connected to that. And both in this story and in the prodigal, we have a man who squanders, right? That word is a very important Greek word that's very, it pops out to you when you read it in the original. And so what is this about? Well, let's just think of the manager himself who, he's got ADHD, maybe he's dishonest, we don't know, but he squandered his job. He's called on the carpet, hey, you're fired. But before the word gets spread that he's fired, he goes back to everybody because he knows there's no way I can beg. And I'm too old to do manual labor. This is my best shot. And so he goes to all of these debtors one by one before they hear that he's no longer manager. And presumably on the authority of the master says, the master wants to give you a break. Give me half of that. So he ingratiates himself. The manager sees what's going on. I don't tickled? Is he like, now all these debtors love me and think I'm great, or I lost a lot of money? But instead, he rewards this act. So here's the deal, I think. When we read about the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the self-righteous, religiosity-laden keepers of the law, we think, come on, you know, give us a break. Why are you always so concerned about who's in and who's out, and who's up and who's down? Can't you just welcome people and chill a little bit? And so as soon as we side with Jesus in chapter 15, and we rejoice at the lost coin, the lost son, but then we get to this, and what's our first reaction? It's not fair. And we grumble. It's like, this is crazy. Jesus catches us then. He catches us because as soon as we start feeling like we're above the fray, we're not like those poor Pharisees, those self-righteous leaders, but as soon as we say it's not fair, according to our standard, we're caught. That's the point, right? It's not fair. And it's all about the gift. You know, when I was working, I spent a year in New York City with my brother Craig in 1988. He was working with the Covenant House, a ministry to kids on the street. We created this workshop called The Quest. And essentially, you adopt four identities and then go do something from the perspective of that identity, and then we talk about it. So the first identity was the scientific naturalist. And these kids, mostly from Harlem and the Bronx, as it turns out, maybe a group, we did four groups of 10, they would become scientists. And we gave them name tags and clipboards, and we went to the Museum of Natural History. And we taught them how to discern, how to observe, how to pay attention, and then suggested that's a lot like prayer. The second identity was the servant, right? And we wanted to teach them, we wanted to raise the question, why does God come to us from the top down instead of, why does God come to us from the bottom up instead of the top down? As servant, not as the master that God is. So we put aprons on them, and we snapped our fingers, and we lit candles, and we role-played the difference between master and servant. Then we made 200 sandwiches, packed the Covenant House van, and went to the Lower East Side at Tompkins Square Park, which in 1988 was pretty dicey, right? There were some cops that had been killed earlier that year. And our assignment, I said, okay, guys, as servants, we want you to take your baggie of sandwiches and offer them to the homeless who line the benches, right? Any given noon, the homeless are just sleeping on the benches. Go feed them lunch, and then let's talk about it. So within 15 minutes, these kids fan out, and I'm just watching, and really, it's pretty cool. All these folks are sitting up eating a sandwich together. It's communion, right? And but there was one kid, Alex. He was hard as his heart was hardened. He lived as a victim. Life was utterly not fair to him. And so, in the name of justice, I'm going to fight the system. I'm going to fight, you know, the gal on top. So he was shut off in another way. And so he wasn't passing out sandwiches, and yet at the very end, almost before we were to leave, Alex sees this one Hispanic man who's asleep on the bench, and Alex goes up and kicks him, says, "Hey man, wake up." And this guy rubs his eyes, and he finally realizes what's going on, and Alex jams a sandwich into his face, says, "Are you hungry? Eat it." And then this man, he doesn't take it, but he slowly stands up. And then Alex is impatient. "Come on, man, what are you doing?" And then this man gets down on one knee and then gets down on the other knee and he crosses himself and he holds out his hands. It's a true story. That Alex trembled. I have goosebumps even telling it for the second time today. Alex trembles, and in that moment his heart breaks open. And he receives a moment of something beautiful. I'm not sure what happened to Alex, you know, but God got in. And that man received communion. So this is, I think, in conclusion, what's being given in this good news. It's true, we don't deserve it. Yes, it is unfair. And we can grumble and stay outside. And we can do our best to climb the ladder. And if we're at the top of the food chain, well, I don't know. Maybe you don't have to worry about it. If you're at the bottom of the food chain, you're full of shame and you're angry and you grieve and you spend your whole life trying to get up. And the point, though, is that Jesus is saying, hey man, the party's going on all the time. Everybody is welcome at this table. And the people that you think are below you, that's just pride. And you who are ashamed, that's pride in its own way. Pride closes the heart, humility opens the heart. And Alex's heart opened in that moment of humility and God got in. And Jesus is saying to all of us, hey, the party is happening. And there's some amazing people out there that you think are bad or unjust or whatever. See them as God sees them and let's see what happens. You may be surprised. But the party is what it's all about. And today we're invited to this party at this table and everyone will be welcome. Amen. That's all I got.